Not yet. Not yet.
It's got to be a surprise here. Scripture says that every time a person comes to Christ, that all of heaven just erupts with celebration. And last Sunday, if you were here, Ron Wadle came forward and he was baptized into Jesus Christ. And that gave not only all of heaven a reason to celebrate, it also gave all of us a reason to celebrate too. We have a new brother in Christ. It was one of those memorable baptisms, as not very often have we seen someone come forward and be baptized in their church clothes and go home wet. So Ron, thanks for letting us share in that memorable moment with you. And we praise the Lord for that, and in fact, we are anticipating this morning another baptism that's going to happen, and so we are thanking God for that as well. I think the Spirit of God is moving among us, and we have been talking about September 30th coming up as Decision Sunday, Baptism Sunday, and I know of at least two people who have already said to me that they are planning to be baptized on that particular day. If you are sensing God's Spirit moving in your life, don't resist Him. Give in to Him. Surrender to Him. You know what He will do for you? He will lead you to the Son. S-O-N. And when you have the Son, then you have forgiveness being offered to you, and the Son will bring peace to you, and the Son will make you free. And John 8:36 says, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Now that doesn't mean that as we give our life to Jesus, that we will live a life without problems. We all know that that's not the case. We have problems. The promise is that He will be with us through those problems. And there is no problem so big that He can't help us through that problem, that He can't give to us victory over that problem. That's His promise for each and every one of us. I thought it was interesting last week that Daryl Winter came forward with Ron at the invitation time, and as they were sharing with me, Ron was saying that Daryl had talked with him and really had some encouragement to him, and maybe was that which helped him get over the hump of making that decision for Jesus. He was Ron's encourager. He nudged Ron maybe a little bit, and maybe you could be that Daryl Winter for somebody else. Please, please do not be mute about your faith. Let's be willing to speak up about what a wonderful Savior that we have in Jesus Christ. I hope that you're praying for September 30th. And if you're one who's sitting here today and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus in Christian baptism, I would hope that you would be one of those people who would say, yes, I want to honor Him. I want to obey Him. I want to surrender my life to Him in this special way, because this is what He's asked me to do. And I will tell you too, one of those folks that are being baptized on September 30th is going to share a testimony that morning of what God is doing in his life and what he has done. And it will bless you. I assure you, it will bless you. I hope that every one of you will be here on September 30th. It's going to be a special day. And afterwards, we're going to have some good food. And the kids are going to have fun on the inflatables. Maybe some of the adults will have some fun on the inflatables too. Watch this. Hey. That's kind of fun. And I got a picture also That's Paul and Lynn Filla on the inflatables. They didn't know they were going to be on the screen today. It's going to be a fun day. Look at your Bibles at Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, says, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So then, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." I have a question for you as we have this particular scripture before us. And the question is this: what kind of fruit are you producing? What kind of fruit are you producing? According to this passage of Scripture, we are producing either good fruit or bad fruit. So for this morning, a few minutes, I want us to talk about both kinds of fruit. First of all, the good fruit. That's the kind of fruit that we want to produce in our life. Would you look with me on the screen? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and I'd like for you to read this with me, please. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Is this the kind of fruit that is being produced in your life? I need to ask myself that same question. Is this the kind of fruit that is being produced in my life? Am I growing in my love for others? Am I living out the joy of the Lord? Or am I moody and depressed in my spirit? What about the fruit of patience? Am I growing in my patience? The other day, I was going through Fort Scott at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was on my way to the hospital in Galena where Joanne Hirons was going to be having surgery. And if you've been through Fort Scott, you will know that there are 6 stoplights on the highway that goes through the town, and I had already hit 5 red lights that morning. And it was 5 o'clock in the morning. Nobody is out at 5 o'clock in the morning. And there I sat 5 different times at 5 different red lights. And by that time, I was getting just a little bit impatient. And off I'm going to that last light, and it's red as I'm approaching. And wouldn't you know it, it turned green. And I had a sigh of relief, like, finally. And it was about that time that the Holy Spirit was saying to me, "Where is your patience?" Or maybe that was my wife saying that. I think they both were saying that to me. "Where is your patience?" I had another incident happen this week that was pretty convicting. I have a friend who's going through some hardship from another individual. This individual's not being very kind to him, and I'm listening to him and talking to him, and I said, "Hey, I got a passage of Scripture I want you to memorize because this will help you as you're dealing with this issue in your life." And I gave him this passage of Scripture. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so forth. I gave him that passage of Scripture. I'm telling him to memorize it. And he's sharing some more with me, just a little bit more about what's going on in this relationship. And I said, Do you know what that guy needs? He needs somebody to just whip his rear end. And then the Holy Spirit says to me, where did that come from? Not from me, he says to me. It's not coming from me, because that's coming from the flesh. Do you have that battle going on in your life where you have the flesh versus the spirit? I need to grow in the fruit of the spirit. It's so easy to resemble the world in which we live. God wants us not to be conformed to the world. He wants us rather to be transformed into the likeness of His Son. If you look at these 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, it really is a portrait of Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to grow us up to look like Jesus. He wants to grow us to become a more loving person like Jesus. He wants to grow us to become more gentle like Jesus, to be more kind like Jesus. One of those character qualities is faithfulness. My brother was with me for a few days here last weekend as we celebrated my mom's 90th birthday. And in our conversing with each other, we were talking about Troy Pyatt. And Troy is a good friend of mine, and I've shared with my family about Troy, and they pray for Troy. And so my brother was just saying, hey, how's Troy doing? And so I was telling Tom about Troy's story and Tanya's story, too. It's a story of trials and testing. And if you were here a few Sunday nights ago, you heard their testimony and you were blessed by that. If you weren't here, let me just give you a little blurb of that testimony. Troy has a disease that only a handful of people in this whole world have. And there have been many times that he's been staring death in the face. And is it 190 surgeries that Troy has had of ports that are put into his veins so that he can receive the potassium that is needed to keep him alive? And Troy's a pretty young guy for all of this to have be a part of his story. And it would be so easy for he and Tanya to do this towards God, to feel this way towards God, as to why are you letting this happen to me? Why is this my story? But that's not the way Troy and Tanya respond. Troy, he just keeps serving and serving and serving. And Tanya is the same way. She just keeps serving and serving and serving. And as I shared that with my brother Tom, and shared with him too that, you know, they had lost a grandbaby a year ago that was just days away from being delivered. Tanya's lost her job a couple of months ago, and yet, as my brother said, you know, they're just faithful, aren't they? They're just faithful. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. And as the Spirit is a part of our life, and as He is growing us in the likeness of Christ, these 9 character qualities, He's going to grow us in them. And for Troy and Tanya, I see that faithfulness quality in their life. And I'm sure if the Holy Spirit was not in their life, that would be a completely different story for them. We need the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I was talking with Cindy as we sat around the supper table a few nights ago, and I was having this sermon on my mind. And I said to her, who in the church at Reinhardt exhibits a fruit of the Spirit to you? And without hesitation, she spoke up saying, Peary Cash exhibits the fruit of love. And I knew exactly where she was going with that. Cindy's dad was suffering from Alzheimer's in his final days, and it was such a burden to her to see her dad in that condition. Her dad, in his good years, was a really smart man. Now, he didn't even finish high school. And she says quickly about that, that he preferred going hunting than going to high school. He preferred playing snooker than going to high school. And yet when it came time for him to get a job, he was able to secure a job with Rockwell International out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. They built airplanes. And her father worked himself into a position of a supervisor there at Rockwell. They sent him to school to learn trigonometry. I don't know that I could even spell the word, much less work the numbers. And yet he could work the numbers. And his company was involved in the space program. I have a picture for you. This fella here on the left looking towards us is her dad. And he's working with some other guys. They're working on parts for one of the Apollo spacecraft modules. And later, they worked on the space shuttle. And he was right in the middle of all that. I mean, he was a smart fellow. But not only was he smart on the job, he was smart with this book right here, the Bible. I mean, he was as good a student of the Bible as I've ever seen. And he especially was a student of the book of Revelation. He knew the book of Revelation like you and I know our name. And he could, he had studied the books of the prophets in the Old Testament, Ezekiel and Daniel and Jeremiah and Isaiah, all of those prophets, Zechariah, and he could show you how those books dovetailed in so beautifully with the book of Revelation. He was a student of the Word of God. For 55 years, he taught Sunday school there in his church, and I sat in his class from time to time when we would go back and visit, and it was like, wow! And then Alzheimer's set in. Just took his mind. And it hurt. It hurt Cindy. Hurt the whole family. And Perry Cash was one who reached out to her and just showed love to her. Because Perry had traveled down that same road with his father. I think her father, right? He knew, he understood what she was going through. And he was having compassion towards her and showing love towards her. The fruit of the Spirit is love. She and I continued that conversation around the table. I said, you know, I think Jane Westerholt, where's Jane at? I saw her earlier this morning. Jane Westerholt, to me, exhibits the fruit of joy. I've been here for 14 months. I don't know that I've ever seen Jane without a smile on her face. She is a joy-filled person. And I know, just from a distance, I know that farming at times can be really stressful, can it? And it can steal away a person's joy pretty easily. But I don't think Jane's joy is based on the weather. I don't think her joy is based on the prices. Rather, her joy is based on who lives inside of her and who it is that is sitting on the throne of her life, Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. We continued that conversation, talking with one another, and I said, what fruit do you think Lawrence Greer has? And we agreed, he's got them all. He's got them all. But you know one that I see in Lawrence's life just shining brightly is the fruit of faithfulness. I don't think probably every Sunday Lawrence feels like being here. But he's here. He's faithful. He's faithful to the Lord. He's faithful to the Lord's church. He's just faithful in his character. I've gone down a couple of times and visited with Lawrence in his home and sat for an hour each time and had a wonderful conversation with him. I don't think in either of those conversations that lasted an hour apiece that he said anything bad about anybody. It's just faithful. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. I'll tell you one more story as we're talking about good fruit. I'll remember for a long time the first time that Cindy and I visited in Shannon and Tracy's home. And this is before Amelia was born. We sat down and we were talking with them. And if you've ever been in their home, you go from the main entryway up a flight of steps, probably 6 or 7 steps, and to the right of those steps is their living room. And then just off of the living room to the south is their dining room. And then back to the east through a door is their kitchen. And then the kitchen has a doorway back into the living room area. It comes out, I think, about the stair where the stairs are. And so what you have there really is a circle racetrack for little boys. And you know how little kids can get excited when company comes. And Cindy and I are sitting there talking with Shannon and Tracy, and I think it was their two smallest ones, Cooper and Tanner, that started chasing each other around the circle, and each time they were getting a little faster and a little louder. It wasn't bothering us at all. In fact, I thought it was kind of funny. But Shannon wanted the running to stop. And so as they came back around that one time, all Shannon did, I'll step to where you can see me, all he did was this. And immediately they stopped. And I thought, how did you do that? I mean, he didn't turn around and give them the what for. He didn't yell at them. He didn't threaten them 10 times. It was just this. And they stopped running. And I thought, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Again, I want to ask you, what kind of fruit are you producing in your life? If you were the topic of conversation at somebody's dinner table, what kind of fruit would they say that you are producing? Would it be good fruit? Or would it be the fruit of the Spirit that they are seeing in your life? Every tree, every good tree bears good fruit. But the bad tree bears bad fruit, Jesus said. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And verse 20, so then you will know them by their fruits. The Lord Jesus wants to produce good fruit in us. And according to the passage that we have read, there is a second kind of fruit. There's good fruit, and there's what? There's bad fruit. And this is the kind of fruit that we want to guard against. And if we could just go back for a moment to each of those different scenarios that I painted for you, Let's think about what the scenario could be. If Shannon was producing bad fruit, that scenario could have been quite different, as those little boys are just running the circle and getting louder. Instead of being gentle with them, he could have turned to them and screamed at them and cursed at them to stop running, and then turned back to us and say, "These kids are about to drive me crazy." And if Lawrence was bearing bad fruit, instead of having no complaint, he could be full of complaint. He could just sit at home and feel sorry for himself. And if you did come to visit him, he could have all kinds of complaint to give to you if he's producing bad fruit. Matthew 12, 34 and following says, "The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil." So if a person is having junk come out of their mouth, it's an indication that there is junk inside of their heart. Jesus said, "Every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And if Jane Westerhold was bearing bad fruit, she'd complain about the weather, and she'd stew, and she'd fret, and she'd worry, and she'd let circumstances steal away from her joy. And Perry, if he had bad fruit coming out of his life, he wouldn't give a rip about what Cindy was going through, because he just wouldn't care. He'd be stewing over his own situation, his own loss. And Troy and Tanya would be bitter. They'd be angry. And letting everybody know about it too. You see, Jesus said, "You will know them by their fruits." Again, I want to ask you, what fruit are you producing in your life? People are watching you. People are listening to you. They're watching me. They're listening to me. They're interested to see what kind of fruit we're going to produce. If we have the Spirit in us, we're going to produce good fruit. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, because we're not perfect. We have this battle raging in our life, and sometimes we take some steps backward. We are not perfect. But as we learn to submit to the Holy Spirit, He will help us produce good fruit. If the Spirit of God is not on the throne of your life, then there's going to be a lot of bad fruit being produced. And Jesus said, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." I want to encourage you to produce good fruit. Get connected to the vine. Jesus said in John 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches." Every branch in me that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. We've got a pear tree in our yard. And it produces a lot of pears most every year, but this year, wow, they have been fabulous. And when you eat one of these pears, you better have a napkin, because it's going to be juicy and it's going to be good. And I just want to encourage you to bear good fruit in your life. Jesus. Let's pray. pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit whom you have given to us, and that he helps us to grow, to be like Jesus. Help us to be submissive to him. Would you grow us in good fruit? And we pray this in Jesus' name.